So yes, when Pastor Carl asked me if I'd be willing to do Mission Fest, I was happy to do it, but the scheduling I knew would be tight because we had already scheduled this ICRC, International Conference of Reformed Churches, and it was right in the middle of all of it there. Thought I missed my notes. So yes, Warren Noose, who all of you know, and I were the two delegates to this. It's every 4 years, 5 years in this case, because it was supposed to be last year. The last one that we held, that was held was in 2017. That was in Jordan, Ontario. That was the first one I was a delegate to. This one was supposed to be in India. However, because it's a wide range of Reformed churches, obviously, they come from all over the world, and India has currently a government that is not favorable to Christianity, and they would not guarantee that they would allow visas for our African members. And so the board wisely said, well, we can't have it in a country where all of our member churches aren't allowed to go. So it was, the South African church agreed to host it, but as you all know, South Africa is not always the safest place to be, especially if you're white, which is a good number of the churches. So they said, you know what, in Namibia, right north of us, we have member churches. It's a lot safer in Namibia, and so they hosted it there at the nicest conference center I've ever been at. You can see it in the background here, but the Namibia or Windhoek Country Club, where everything was under one roof. We had nice rooms. We had buffets three times a day. We had conference rooms right there. There was a golf. I went golfing twice. It was great. Like I told Warren, take everything that you see and forget it, because you will never see this again. but it worked out well. So, like I said, I didn't have a lot of time. My plane was, well, the plane left without me in Chicago because my luggage didn't make it through. So I was supposed to be home Thursday night. I ended up getting home Friday night. So still a little bit in recovery. But this is fresh in my mind. We'll write up a report. It'll make it out to the denomination later. So I guess you are the first ones to hear about what happened in ICRC Namibia. What is ICRC? Carl actually summarized it quite well yesterday when he said, is this like an international version of NAPARC, North American Presbyterian Reformed Churches? Yeah, it really is. It's where we had 34, at the beginning, 34 member denominations from all around the world coming together. Number from Africa. We just received one from Eastern Europe, Hungary, Netherlands, United States and Canada, of course, Brazil, India, three different denominations at least from India, a couple from Asia, New Zealand, Australia. Every nation, stripe, tongue, really is represented there, and they all hold to the Reformed faith. So I probably should have started elsewhere, but I heard this quote. I thought that we were the only place where the Reformed truth really was known. I thought that we were the only ones that believed this stuff. Well, that was a farmer who approached me after worship in Namibia, and thinking that in South Africa is the only place where we hold this Reformed truth. He said, this is so encouraging to see that people from America and India and Asia and all over the world believe the exact same thing that we believe. And a part of me immediately reacted, South Africa, why would you think you're the only ones that believe it? But then, you know, I immediately realized that not that many years ago, sadly, that could have been me about Grand Rapids, Michigan. And maybe some of you about Sutton, because we get rather closed in this is where we live. So I totally get what he's saying. And so that is one of the great things of ICRC, is we recognize that the RCUS is not it. We're a part of it. We're a part of the church, and it is around the world. So the basis, what they call the basis, the grounds upon which you can be a member church, the basis of ICRC is Holy Scriptures, Old and New Testament, as confessed in the Three Forms of Unity and the Westminster Standards. So if you want to be a member of this, at the very least, a denomination has to believe in the inerrancy of Scripture and be confessional, either Westminster or the Three Forms of Unity, as we do. Then they have the purpose. It is to express and promote the unity of faith of the member churches have in Christ. That's what this gentleman, this farmer, was expressing. We see the unity of the faith. We get a broader view of who the church is. Secondly, to encourage the fullest ecclesiastical fellowship among member churches, to be able to sit down and recognize brothers and sisters in Christ, to be able to exchange pulpits and to recognize that this is a godly denomination. We have members coming from this denomination. We accept them. We receive them as joint members. Thirdly, to facilitate and promote cooperation among member churches in such areas as missions, theological education, ministries of mercy. This is where I find the greatest benefit for us as a denomination, and for most denominations, to work cooperatively with members of sister churches. So we have work going on in the Congo. What other denomination has work going on in the Congo? Do we have to fight against each other, or can we work together and do a better job? Or not even just fighting, but maybe just redundancy, and we're not being effective. If we see denominations working in similar fields, let's join resources. Let's work cooperatively together. I sat down with a delegate from the Reformed Churches of Brazil, small denomination in Brazil. I really wasn't familiar with them, but you may have received a communication from City Seminary out of California, how they're working on establishing a Spanish-speaking seminary in South and Central America. I said, well, I know you don't speak Spanish. You're Portuguese in Brazil, but they have facilities, they have room, they have organization. He said, we would be happy to host conferences for this ministry. In Colombia, it might not be safe for them altogether, but in Brazil it is. So, you know, pass that information along to City Seminary. If you want, you have this denomination there that thinks that they might be interested in helping you in your mission to the Spanish-speaking churches there. So that's a tangible way in which we can be helpful to one another, work cooperatively. Number of these denominations, it's just a matter of keeping in communication. We see a lot of similarity, but right now our ministries don't overlap, but in the future they might. So we want to keep up those lines of communication so when they do, we're able to. By the way, I'm talking too much. Please stop me if you have any questions or comments. Okay, fourthly, to study common problems and issues that confront member churches. A lot of times we'll find out that an issue, well, take Federal Vision was an aberrant theology that was really active a decade ago, and it continues to be a problem. Well, it might be that in that case you had, I won't list, but it affected a number of denominations. Well, let's use resources. You've studied this. You've studied that. Let's put all this together and utilize resources. And fifthly, to present a Reformed testimony to the world. You know, what do we know about the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church? They're all around the world, and I know there's variation in them, but people look at that and say, oh, yeah, that's the church that's everywhere. Well, we, as the true church, I'll boldly say that. The Reformed faith, I believe, is the fair, the honest, the true understanding of Scripture. We also are present around the world. And rather than present ourselves as 150 different factions or more, let's present a unified faith, a unified face, saying we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are members of one holy Catholic Church, like we say every week. So to present a Reformed testimony to the world. Who was there? By the way, how long do we go? To a quarter after, I'm guessing? Yes.
It depends if it's me or someone else.
Oh, okay. Well, when they start walking out. Oh, okay. Okay. Participants. There were 34 member churches, and all but two were able to send delegates. One of them did have trouble with visas. He came in the last couple days. I think that was really poor planning on his part. He didn't apply on time. And another denomination said, we can't come because of risk of COVID. Well, I guess living here in the middle of the United States, we don't think quite as much about that, but certain folks are still very, very scared. So a couple of churches didn't make it, but 32 of them did. One church was terminated. Back in 2017, the first time that I went, the GKV, the Care Reform, Kerk of Netherlands Liberated, had just officially decided to open up all ecclesiastical offices, deacon, elder, and pastor, to women. And that was after they must have had 12 at least denominations, including the RCUS, come to their Senate and say, don't do this. You're making a mistake. But they went ahead and did it. And they're one of the founding churches of ICRC and the mother church of a lot of denominations. They are very, very active in missions. And so it was a difficult decision, but they voted at that meeting after a lot of deliberation to suspend them. They could still be members, but they had no voting right. They were basically under censure. And then at this meeting, after the same encouragement, please, back away from these actions and return to godly church order, they adamantly refused, and so we removed them from ICRC. That was, again, a very difficult action just because of the close relationship that they've had with so many. That vote, I was encouraged that vote was it was without any dissent. There was one church that abstained from voting, but nobody voted against removing them. They all recognized that this has to be done, including their closest allies that had argued for them just 5 years ago. So that was tough. I commend the members of GKV for staying the entire time, being friendly, not grumbling, not being bitter. They've acted with respectability. It's also going to be tough because they were probably the biggest contributors to ICRC, the finances. $20,000 were their dues, and that's going to be gone now. But you have to do what's right instead of just looking at the money. Dues, by the way, are based on two things. They're based on the number of members in your denomination, and secondly, based on GDP or the area where you come from. So Netherlands is a first world country. They're very financially solvent. And so their percentage, the amount that they pay per member is very high. And the low end would be the very poorest nations in Africa. There's a minimum of $50, and a couple denominations hit that because they just have no money. And so it's based on where you live. So in removing the Reformed Church of the Netherlands, we also took away a lot of money. It's just a necessary part. Is what? God will provide. Exactly. Exactly. On the plus side, we lost one, but we received five. I was named to a committee to examine the churches that were applying from India. I tell you what, that was probably the most encouraging aspect of the council for me, was being able to sit down with these delegates from two different denominations in India that wanted to join and see what God was doing with them. One was the Anagra, which means translated grace. So Grace Reformed Presbyterian Churches of Bangalore in India. They sent one member, one delegate. This denomination was begun in 2008. They subscribed to the Heidelberg Catechism and to the Westminster Confession without exceptions. They have 11 congregations with two mission works. 13 organized and 9 unorganized. So 13 churches, 9 mission works, 18 ministers, and 1,000 communicant members. They're just a godly denomination that desired to work, to be a member of this church, to be a part of the church universal and present that Reformed faith. Face. The next one was ERC. ERC, Evangelical Reformed Church in India. They sent two guys, Vijay and Oop. Vijay, even though this is in India, he's a church planner in Frankfurt, Germany. So they were organized just in 2010, and they're already doing missions in Germany. And get this, Grand Rapids, Michigan. My hometown. I was very encouraged. I kind of had to laugh at that aspect because Grand Rapids considers itself, little Jerusalem. This is the heartbeat of the Reformation. And we have Indians coming over and doing mission work there. Very encouraging. They have nearly 3,000 baptized members. They already have 114 churches. So they are larger than the RCUS, who is almost 300 years old, and they're 12 years old. The Lord's doing amazing things in India. That's just very encouraging. That, like I said, was really the highlight of it for me, was to be able to sit down and stand in awe at what God really is doing. Besides those, there was also a Reformed Church in Africa that joined in Uganda, and Reformed Presbyterian Church of Central and Eastern Europe that's in Hungary. The Reformation heartbeat was not just in Germany, but also in Hungary. And it's been gone for so long, and it's coming back. Encouraging to see what's going on. And I said we had removed the GKV, the Liberated Dutch Church. Out of that, like happens so often with the URC, for example, is you'll have a remnant that remains faithful. And in this case, there was that as well. They call themselves the GKN, Heer Reformed Kerk of Netherlands, not the Liberated Church. Of this, there's 1,500 members, 11 churches, and 7 ministers. So they're just three or four years old. And the Lord has kept out a remnant of faithful churches. They're committed to continuing in the Reformed faith, to submitting to Scripture and to the confessions, and we praise God for that. The Reformed faith continues to work in the Netherlands. They have only one fraternal relationship now, and that is with the old German Reformed Church in Germany. Back in 2000, I think it was also in 17 or 16, at Synod, Victor de la Salle, I I think it's a French name of a South African who's church planting in Germany, Frankfurt, Germany. But he came and gave a presentation to our RCO Synod, was very well received. He's just like us in so many ways. He's starting a seminary there, Heidelberg Seminary in Heidelberg. And they're not a member church of ICRC yet, but Victor was there, Pastor Victor. He gave a presentation. We sat down and talked with him. And that church and this GKN are in close relationship now because they can train ministers for the Dutch, and the Dutch can be, well, help finance them. So they have a good working relationship there. And, of course, Germany and the Netherlands are right next to each other. So that'll be really good. Victor wants to come to our synod again in a couple of years and, you know, update us on the work there. I'll pause there for a moment. Anything on the member churches?
Who are some of the denominations from the United States?
Okay, from the United States, I'll go from memory. I guess you could say the Canadian Reformed because they have two or three churches in the United States. You have us. You have the United Reformed Churches. You have the Associate Reformed Presbyterian Churches, the ARP. Generally, that's one of those rare denominations that is reforming. It was a solid Reformed church. It got quite liberal, and they're coming back, which you hardly ever see. So that's encouraging. The OPC is a member church. The PCA is not. Some folks in the PCA want to join, but they have not. The Free Reformed Church is a Dutch background, and they're closely associated with the Heritage Reformed Churches. Both of them are member churches. The Netherlands Reformed is not, nor would they be accepted. So that might be all of them from the United States. I have a press release. I'll leave it here, and it does list all the member churches. Yeah. RPC, no. No. At least they did not have a... No, they did. They do. They are. Yep. Yep, they do have a delegate. I know who it is. So, yes, they are present and member church. I went to their synod this year. They're an interesting group. Yeah. Encouraging. They're good. I like a lot of them. But, yes, they were there, and they are members. So that might be all, or I might be missing one. I'll leave this press release out back if anyone wants to read it later. Worship. Of course, we're churches, so we worship, and it was over a Sunday. That was another high point. Sunday morning, there are two South African Reformed churches, I forget the acronyms of what they are, in Windhoek, Namibia. And there wasn't room for all of the delegates at either one, so they got two buses, sent half of us to one church, half of us to the other church. Very encouraging. I wish that they would have had their own ministers preaching in Afrikaans. I would have been happy to not understand what was going on, but to worship, you know, with them as they worship. But they didn't. They asked two of the ministers that were present to preach in English, and they were good sermons. We did do some of the singing in Afrikaans up on the screen. I guess that means they're liberal. I don't know. but up on the screen, they put the songs up, some in English, some in Afrikaans. And you know what? The worship service looks just like ours. You know, just like Minnow in here is essentially the same. You might flip-flop where you have different aspects. Same there, different elements. But it's the same. And I find that very encouraging. You have one faith being preached. You have a general order of worship because we believe in the regulative principle of worship. We worship God as He commands us to. And you see that. I've never been to Africa in my life. And they're worshiping God the exact same way we are. In the evening, we had worship service at the conference center, and we invited both of those churches to join us. We had a huge room, had a number of members join us for a second service. A URC minister, John Van Eyck, preached the evening service. Once again, it was excellent. So worship with members of churches from around the world is a really encouraging thing to see that catholicity of the church. Every time there's a theme, the theme for this one was seminary training. That meant that three doctors of theology presented papers throughout the conference on different aspects of seminary education. The first by an Indian seminary, a center for theological education, ministry training, or spiritual development. I have no doubt it was really good, but I could only pick out 1 out of 10 words he said. Really strong accent. There was good discussion afterwards, though. Second was models or alternate strategies for ministry training. That was by Dr. Dubreed, South African. I could understand him a lot better. Good presentation on not only the traditional seminary training like Pastor Carl and I had in two different U.S. seminaries, but also how it has to be tweaked a little bit if you're in third world countries and in different areas. So that was really good. The third was CRUD. The authority of the scripture, that's the scientific word. The authority of the scriptures in diverse situations and ethical contexts by Reverend Dr. Henk Vanderbilt, professor at Free Church in Amsterdam. Basically, he's a member of the Protestant Church in the Netherlands, and he spent his whole lecture reprimanding us for removing the Dutch Church. A lot of people actually just got up and left during that one. It was kind of embarrassing. So those were the lectures. That was crap with a capital F, yes. One of my professors would use that line. But that said, it was provocative, and it got a lot of discussion going. Bilateral discussions, where the churches sit down and just talk. We didn't talk with any of those U.S. churches because NAPARC is going to be meeting in November. I won't be able to make it because my daughter's getting married right after that, so I won't have time. But we're sending delegates there to NAPARC, and they'll meet with all those U.S. churches and talk about ways in which we can work cooperatively. So we just ignored all of them at ICRC and talked with the foreign churches. How can we be of assistance to you? How can you be of assistance to me? I referenced the Reformed churches in Brazil as one illustration. That was one that we sat down with. We also sat down with Pastor Victor from Germany, Reformed Church of South Africa. Now, there's a good example. Reformed Church of South Africa, we sat down with, at their request, said we have a lot in common. Same confessions, same faith. We had had good discussions in 2017, and they wanted to see, you know, what can we obtain a closer relationship with you, some sort of fraternal relationship with you. And we had a wonderful conversation for about an hour, going over the work that they do, the work we do, and in the end, we decided, you're right, we have a lot in common. But what we don't have in common is an overlap in ministry. So it makes no sense for us to expend resources to send delegates to their synod, for them to send delegates to our synod, to have that close fraternal relationship. Not because we don't like them, but because there's just no real benefit in the ministry. So we decided to recommend that we keep communication lines open. If they have a mission work or a ministry that overlaps with one of ours, we can be of assistance. That way we'll find out about it. And maybe at that time we'll form a closer relationship. But at this point, there's real no point. Same with independent Reformed churches in Korea. Had a wonderful conversation with them. Godly church. They're doing a great work. They gave me this book. It gives a lot of their songs. You look through it, they're singing the same songs we are, but we don't have any real overlap. I do want to talk about them a little bit, though. Well, China is a communist country, right? We have to be careful what we do in China. North Korea, that's got that wacko leader that, he's ill. What does the church do? Well, it's very tough for us to send missionaries to China. They watch everything you do. You're not going to send missionaries to North Korea. They probably won't come back out and won't make it a week. But interestingly, the Independent Reformed Church in Korea has a seminary. And that seminary, it's just a small denomination, but that seminary serves the entire region. They have a lot of students that come from China to South Korea, and they study theology. What's the benefit? Well, obviously, they go back home, and they can minister in their own country where we can't send anyone. They can sit down face-to-face as trained ministers and develop relationships, and they can do the work of the church. And China and North Korea are close friends, and it's very easy for them to go from China into North Korea. So that's where some of this international aspect comes into play, is the Reformed churches around the world are able to do a lot of good work in China and in North Korea by being friendly with churches like this Independent Reformed Church in Korea, by encouraging the training of native Chinese to go back into China and to go into North Korea. It's not us, but now we know that the Lord is doing good things there. Now we can keep them in prayer. Now if opportunity presents itself, we know this is a good work. Let's keep that before us and maybe even have opportunity to help support it. That is an excellent display of how the church around the world can work cooperatively to bring the gospel to areas that otherwise could not, would not receive missionaries. Any questions thus far? I'm going to be done early, and I know that's going to bother you. No. That's what my church says, too. One last item, then. That was the day away on Saturday. They gave the delegates opportunities to go on a number of different outings. Of course, you're in South Africa, so a lot of people wanted to go to the animal parks, see the giraffes, the zebras, the elephants, and all that. Really cool. Other people went to feed the tigers and, you know, throw chickens over the fence and watch tigers eat. Really cool. But one option that they presented was the Reformed Church in South Africa. Well, of course, South Africa had apartheid forever. There's still a lot of racism going on there, like here, sadly. But they have a mission. They have a few primarily black churches, but they have a black minister who ministers in the Sands region, kind of northeast area of Windhoek, to this native tribe, native community. All these people stand about yay tall. They were the original clickers, you know, the language of the clicking tribes. And he has a church that he preaches at once a Sunday. And then four or five or six different farms, I forget how many, I'll leave the info here, where all these farm workers will gather at these farms, and Pastor Jeremiah will go from farm to farm and preach to all of these natives. And you see the Reformed faith growing through these native folks, through the faithful ministry of one self-sacrificial minister, Pastor Jeremiah. I can't, Molet, saying. I can't even pronounce his last name, so I just call him Pastor Jeremiah. Great, godly, humble man. These people have virtually no money, and instead of just throwing money at him, his wife started giving sewing lessons. So they started doing work with sewing right there in her house. They'll come over there and work with needlecraft. The church helps to sell the products. I bought a couple of handbags that they made to give as gifts. I probably should have brought one, but they're getting wrapped up to go to my daughters. And they're not making a lot of money, but guess what they are making? They're making a lot of self-worth. They're recognizing that they have value as people who are created in the image of God. They're not, well, as Pastor Jeremiah put it, when I came here, the sand people stood like this. They're just waiting for people to give them handouts. That's all they do. Now, a number of the men are working on the farms and coming back the safe zone. At night, the women are working at needlecraft and different projects. They set up an orphanage. They actually kind of two orphanages. Many of the girls become sexually active at like 12, guys too, and they're abused and all of this. Safe place where they can be taught, they can be trained, a Christian school. But then also real orphanages for those who have no family. There are probably 15 true orphans there. They're taking care of them, providing all of their needs. They're just doing a wonderful work in that area. I'm going to recommend to our church that maybe our Sunday school start putting some of their offerings towards that. We'll see where that goes. They have 60 kids, I see. We went from farm to farm, and these people would sing songs. They sang Psalm 100 in Afrikaans, and they got rhythm. It was so encouraging to see these people who can't read yet. They have to have audiobooks translated into their own language. But praising God, gathering for worship under a tree. They have no covering. When it's cold, they build a fire, and Pastor Jeremiah preaches while they all gather around this fire outside. But they're on fire for the Lord. And that's really, really encouraging to see the good work of the Reformed faith in areas that I never would have thought it's being distributed. That's the end of what I have to say.